Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
It's so important to take care of your sexual health the same way that you take care of your mental health. I mean, it's part of it, right? It's everything should be included. Like, when you think about your sex drive, it should be the same as like drinking water for hydration. And it's just part of life. And so I partnered with this new company called Base, and it was founded by Lola Prego. And basically what Base does is it tracks, it sends you like this at-home blood and saliva test, and it tracks your sleep, your stress, your energy, your diet, and your sex drive. I just took the test and was fascinated by the results. And it's such a really cool company that everybody needs to try, because like, don't you want to know everything about your sex drive? In addition to Base as a company, they also have this thing called House of Wise, which are these sex gummies, which, I mean, is there anything better than sex and gummies? How about combining them? Like, there's nothing better. Their sex gummies have CBD in every single gummy. Each box contains 10 gummies, and essentially, these are luxury CBD products that allow women to give more intention and purpose to their daily routines. They're made from organic and natural things like horny goatweed extract and maca root extract, ashwagandha, and they promote desire. And so like, if you're, you know, feeling like you want to get in the mood, just eat a gummy and get into it. If you go to get-base.com/houseofwise, you can purchase the sex drive bundle and you'll get an additional 20% off with code ACME and 20% off your House of Wise purchase with code ACME. So that's get-base.com/houseofwise and use code ACME for 20% off your House of Wise purchase. Happy Mother's Day to everyone who is celebrating today, to people who love their mom, to people who have tough relationships with their mom, to people who want to be a mom, to people who can't be a mom, to people who can't stand Mother's Day. I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that it is Mother's Day. It is Sunday, May 9th. And if you are listening to this episode on Mother's Day, thank you. I am grateful to be this motherly figure for you today, but happy, happy Mother's Day. And I hope you enjoy this solo and then the episode. Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. Today is a great episode with Austin Kevich. He is the founder of The Locks Club. And I'm very excited for you to hear everything he has to say. I'm going to do a quick solo answering some of your questions, and then we'll get right into it. The first thing I want to talk about is Bill Gates and Melinda Gates' divorce. I know you're like, what? This is not relevant. But it is, because it's a divorce and divorce is within dating, and we are a dating podcast. I have to say, I was shocked. I think there's some statistic that's like 7 in 10 of the world's billionaires, 7 out of 10 are divorced. And I was at dinner with my girlfriends last night and they're like, why do you think that is? And I straight up was like, mo money, mo problems, for sure. But obviously it's more to that. I think, I mean, if we're going to break down the astrological signs, Bill Gates is a Scorpio and Melinda is a Leo. It either works or it doesn't. And it's possible that it got to a point where one or the other wanted to spread their wings. But it's funny because I asked my boyfriend last night in bed, I was like, how old is the youngest kid of theirs? And he was like 18. And I was like, of course, because it's always like once the last kid goes to college that parents divorce. And I feel like to me, if you're waiting until the last kid of yours goes to college to divorce, you must have been unhappy for a while. So I'm happy that they made this decision that hopefully will make both of their lives better. And I can't really speak more on it because I don't know them at all. And somebody wanted me to talk about, so we had this poll question and it was basically guy wants to move in together before marriage, girl wants to be married before moving in together. Who should compromise, guy or girl? And it was a 50-50. And I truly think that the girl should compromise. It does not just because it's a girl, like it doesn't matter which one of them was the one in the position that didn't want to live together. I would say they have to compromise because living together before you are married or engaged is so important. Yes, I know there are so many people out there who say like, oh, but the statistics of a long-lasting marriage are not living together before. Well, I disagree. I think, I mean, I'm sure those statistics maybe are right. But for me personally, at least, and I can only speak to myself, I think I learned so much about my partner when we moved in together, and I wouldn't want to only learn that post-marriage. I feel like that'd be so odd because like at that point you're married, like you have vows to one another. So I think it's really important. And I think it is a bit of like a trial that you're, you know, trying out this person before getting married. And it's nice. Like I know obviously some people have for religious reasons have to be married or engaged before moving in together. But if you have the option to live together before getting engaged, I highly recommend. Friends who can't be happy for you / are salty, you're in a relationship. These are always, like almost always friends that have their own issues, that are just unhappy with themselves. These are not friends that don't like you or don't want what's best for you. It's friends that don't like themselves and that are not able because they're not in a place in their life where they can be happy for someone. And I know this because I have a friend who was depressed when I was in a really happy relationship and she was still happy for me. And so, you know, all I can say is just try to distance yourself from these people and just understand that it's a them problem, not a you problem. Someone asked, how do you define a serial monogamist? And is serial monogamy always unhealthy? No, it's definitely not. A serial monogamist is someone who's in relationships all the time and is very unlikely to be alone. But I call myself a serial monogamist. And I think, at least for me, I was a serial monogamist because I was looking for love. And I wasn't someone who dated casually. So I got into relationships hoping that I would find love, and I either did or I didn't, or I didn't until I did. And I think that that's really fine. Like everyone finds their person a different way. Some people date one person and that's it. Some people don't date for years and years and then date someone and that's it. Some people date a lot of people. Some people date no people. I mean, I don't think there should be so much judgment around serial monogamists versus people who have never been in a relationship. And I think that's, you know, to each his own. Guilt / shame or regret after breakups, feeling responsible, but I know it takes two. I had a lot of guilt after I broke up with my ex at first. And then with time, I reflected and, like, you know, hindsight is 20/20. And I realized that it does take two to tango. And there were a lot of things that he had done that were not cool and not okay, that, you know, just because I was the one that pulled the trigger doesn't mean he didn't help lead us to that path. And so I honestly think that you should be proud of yourself for taking that step. I think breaking up with someone is really hard. And, you know, we were talking last night at dinner about a recent breakup that we know. And at first we were like, he sucks. And then I was like, you know what? I'm proud of him for breaking up with this girl if he didn't see himself with her long term. Because that's hard. It's easier to just stay and, like, have sex and do you. But it's actually hard to break up. So definitely don't feel guilty. I mean, if you do feel guilty, then that's okay too. But try not to be so hard on yourself, because it was either then or much later down the line. And that would have been way, way worse. And that really wouldn't have been okay. Someone asked how often I have sex. Oh, you have sex when you live with your partner. Okay, so this is not just like a me question. Cool. I would say we are pretty frequent. We have sex like probably like at least five times a week. But I think it's different for everyone and depends on how long you're dating and how high your sex drive is. For me, physical touch is a love language of mine, and I think for my partner too. So it does bring us together. It brings us closer. It's really a nice thing that we like to do. Like, it's not like a chore. It's something that both of us want to do. And so I think, like, it's very important to be aligned with that, with your partner, and not like force yourself to be doing something. But instead, like, if the time is right, you know, find something to make it work, because it does bring you closer. But again, like, only if it's something you want to do. Like, some couples have sex like once every 3 weeks and that works for them. And that's totally fine. How to continue momentum from a really good first date if the feeling was mutual? Definitely try to, like, have another date within the next week, I would say. And, like, be texting back and forth. Make sure you're being, like, light and funny. And, you know, think of it as, like, you're getting to know someone. Don't put them on a pedestal yet. Bridesmaid's duties, how to manage expectations as a bridesmaid. You know, this is totally dependent on, like, how much money you have and what you can contribute. But for me, I say a bridesmaid is definitely more of, like, an emotional thing and being there for the person getting married and being a good friend and, like, hearing them out if they're stressed, being supportive. And I think that's priceless. So just try to show up for them, because you'd want them to show up for you at your wedding. I am so excited to tell you guys that we are finally back with the live shows, kind of. So Remy Bader and I, if you don't know who Remy Bader is, she is hysterical. She has literally risen to fame in a matter of minutes because her personality, her voice, everything about her is electric. She started doing these realistic clothing hauls. Like, you know how, like, I'll do like a Zara haul or like Shopbop haul when I buy clothes on my Instagram? Well, Remy does them for, like, curvy women. And it's not just like, oh my God, everything's gonna fit like a glove. Like, I'm a size zero, blah, blah, blah. But it's real. It's like, I order these clothes and this is how they fit. And it's like, you know, this is just the real. And she brings the real, and she's so funny. Remy and I are going to do a live show on May 27th. So get ready. Tickets are on sale on my Instagram. So go check the Instagram for We Met at Acme. And I'm so excited. It's going to be a looped live show. Remy and I will be together and everyone else will be virtual for safety reasons and COVID, obviously. But in the future, we're going to be doing real shows in person. So stay tuned for that too. And I'm going to turn it over to Austin. Now that I can finally do things again, I am so happy and I love it, but there's just no time to actually sit and cook. Like, I can't tell you the last time that I made a meal. All the groceries that I've ever bought just rot in my fridge. And that's why I'm so grateful that Daily Harvest exists. Daily Harvest delivers delicious food, all built on organic fruits and vegetables, delivered right to your door. It takes minutes to prepare. It's in the freezer until you're ready to enjoy it. So you're not wasting all the groceries that I've been wasting. And you don't have to overthink any of your meals. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I am super indecisive when it comes to what I'm going to eat because there are so many options all the time. But with Daily Harvest, you know exactly what you're going to have: smoothies for breakfast, crisp flatbreads for lunch or dinner, and amazing harvest bowls and soups. I can literally eat a soup no matter what the weather is. And also, Daily Harvest recently launched almond milk, which is made of almonds and a dash of sea salt, and that's it. So you should really, really try it. I'm always stocked up whenever I need their almond milk for my smoothies, and it's delicious. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code ACME to get $25 off your first box. That's promo code ACME for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. That is dailyharvest.com and promo code ACME. I'm not sure if I ever shared this on the podcast, but something that I really struggled with a few summers ago, I had a UTI that I didn't realize I had. And I let it go untreated and it actually turned into a kidney infection, and I've never been in more pain in my entire life. So if this is something you can relate to, if you've ever had a UTI, you need to know about Eucora. Eucora is so important for our urinary health, and like UTIs can happen for so many different reasons. For like, I always make sure that I get up and I pee after sex, but they can happen just because someone's prone to getting them, which is so crazy. Like, we need to get ahead of this. We need to get proactive about our urinary tract health. Eucora has a vaginal probiotic, which is beneficial for literally anyone that has a vagina. And it keeps your vaginal microbiome balanced, and another daily supplement, which helps break down biofilm to keep your urinary tract clear. They have a super easy and helpful quiz on their website to find the product mix that's right for you. So get proactive, go to eucora.com/acme, but you have to hurry because this is a limited time offer. And you also need to hurry because you need to get ahead of your urinary tract health. Go to eucora.com/acme to get 20% off your order. That's eucora.com/acme. Definitely do this. I'm telling you, UTIs are not fun and you do not want them to turn into a kidney infection.
Hey guys, it's me, Christelle Lim, co-founder and CMO of Boomo. As a busy working parent myself, I felt like there was a lack of options for parents, and I personally needed more support. So that's what we're doing here on Being Boomo. We're here to make your life easier, a little less stressful, and help you navigate through this complex thing called parenting. So subscribe now to Being Boomo at applepodcast.com/beingboomo or wherever you listen to podcasts. Oh, gotta go. See you guys soon.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm so excited to be here with Locks Club founder, Austin Kevich. Hey, Austin.
Hey, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm so excited. I like have so much to ask you, but I feel like we'll start with the basics here for everyone who doesn't know you. How old are you and where are you from?
I'm 29 and I'm from Philadelphia.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And I think you already knew that I was going to ask this. It's funny. The first time Austin and I ever spoke, I asked him, obviously, when his birthday was. And he told me his birthday. And now you have to say it again for everybody.
It's July 5th.
So Austin has the same birthday as my boyfriend, which is
what does
wild.
It mean?
I feel like it means so much. Like, at 29, or sorry, you're 29, right?
Mm-hmm.
At 29 was when I met my boyfriend for the first time. And before, he's 30 now.
Gotcha.
But before we met, he was like notoriously the guy who like wouldn't date someone. Like was just like would lose interest after like the first date. And I don't know your full story yet and we're going to find out. But for some reason, I feel like you resonate with that.
Yes, very. Sounds very familiar.
Yeah. And so I wonder why that is and if that's going to change for you at 29, kind of like it did for him. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into like your relationship status. So what is your current relationship status?
I'm currently single. Okay. Quick, this is a deep question, just cutting into it. But did your boyfriend's parents get divorced? Maybe that is something.
They didn't. They actually have a really amazing marriage. But I'm really glad that you brought that up because I feel like, you know, I've dated people with parents who are together, people with parents who are divorced. And I feel like going through your parents' divorce as an adult can definitely affect, I mean, as a kid too, I'm sure, but as an adult, especially, I feel like it can definitely affect how you date. Is that something you went through recently?
No, well, my parents got divorced when I was very young. I think I was in second grade. But just psychoanalyzing myself, because you asked about how your boyfriend was kind of picky. Yeah, it's probably a fear of commitment type thing from childhood or being extra picky because we saw it. We saw marriage not work. But there's a plus side to that, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to be picky to a certain extent, but like to unpack that a little bit, I'm always so curious with fear of commitment. Like, are you afraid to commit because you're going to hurt someone else? Or are you afraid to commit because you're going to get hurt?
I'm going to say neither. I think it depends on the person. It's different for each person. For me, it's just because I don't feel like I have the capacity to be the best boyfriend in the world right now. And a lot of that has to do with Locks Club. And I'm sure we'll get into that. But yeah, it feels like when I do want to be married one day and have a family and have a wife that I'm obsessed with, but like, I don't feel ready to dive into that 100% yet. And I wouldn't want to be 90%.
Mm-hmm. So like, what is your, other than being like self-aware like that, that like you just told us, what is your like blind spot in relationships? What is where, like, for example, I'm super controlling. Mm-hmm. I like can like fly off at like, you know, something really stupid and just yell. Cause that's like kind of what I knew from childhood. Mm-hmm. What's your thing that like one of your exes, might be like, oh, Austin was so blank.
Oh, where do we begin? Probably, I think I'm very ADD brained, blessing and a curse. I'm horrible with my phone. I'm horrible at texting. My head's in imagination land 90% of the time. Honestly, like my team will have to call me and be like, did you eat lunch today? And the answer is usually, oh shit, I forgot. So yeah,
that's so weird because my boyfriend's the same. I literally have to put food in front of him. And I never understood that because I plan my life around when is the next time I can like legally eat.
Do you think it's a July 5th thing then?
It could be. But I also think that, you know, it is like being in your own world and like being wrapped up in things. And like, what is usually distracting you when you're like forgetting to eat lunch, let's say?
Nowadays, Locks Club, it's just like I'm always thinking about it and I feel guilty because even when I'm with people, I mean, I've read a million books on mindfulness and I've tried all the meditation apps. So I know like I should be present. I'll be happier if I'm present. But at dinner, whoever I'm with will be like, Austin, what were you just thinking about? Honestly, tell me. And it's usually some stupid idea for whatever I'm working on that day.
But I would argue that that's a really good thing. Like I was just having this conversation with someone about how like how exciting it is when you find your like joy or you find your passion, because then like everything relates to it. Like you're always kind of on. And like, I'm the same way with my podcast. Like if I'm talking to someone, random person at a bar, and I'm like having an interesting conversation, the next question I'm going to ask is either, how did you meet your boyfriend or girlfriend or wife or husband, whatever, or can you come on my podcast? Mm-hmm. And like, it's always, your mind is just like always going there. And it's a good thing, I would say.
I think the right partner will appreciate that. And that's probably why you and your boyfriend work, because you see it as a strength.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. It's so funny. I was listening recently to a How I Built This episode with the founder of Hinge. And I've referenced this episode like a few times because I think it's really good. And you should definitely check it out. But
I literally just listened this morning.
Really?
How weird is that?
That's so weird.
I swear I listened this morning.
It was really good, right? It was a great episode.
It was so good. It was so interesting. It's a crazy story.
Crazy story. And it had me thinking, like I was up late last night at 1 a.m. when I do my best thinking. And I was like, I have to ask Austin, like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook because, like, you know, indirectly because of this girl that like had either broken up with him or whatever the story was, you know, Justin McLeod started Hinge because he was trying to distract himself from losing his ex-girlfriend at the time.
I know where this
is going.
Do
you think that Locks Club had anything to do with your own personal dating life? And even just like, oh, you were like, I've been single for a while. Maybe I could find someone this way.
I will be the first to admit that it probably had everything to do with getting broken up with. And I guess it's a tale of as old as time, and these other entrepreneurs have been through that struggle. But yeah, I was going through a breakup, and I was in that breakup funk where you buy You Are a Badass, you know, that yellow book, and then you start journaling and meditating. And I just remember I was always anti-dating app. And I just thought they were really cringy. And I tried a few of them at that time. And all my friends would make fun of dating apps. And like, you know, like if you have a friend that meets someone on a dating app, they'll probably lie and say they met at the gym or at Erewhon or something. Mm-hmm. So at the time, completely as a joke, I was like, why isn't there a dating app for people that kind of hate dating apps and that doesn't take itself seriously? So I made this website and wrote, completely on a whim, just joking, like wrote The Locks Club, an exclusive dating app for Jews with ridiculously high standards. And I let people apply through the website, and that was all it was. It was just like a Squarespace. And then to my surprise, like girls started sharing it on their Instagram stories because they thought it was funny, I guess. And a lot of people started applying. And that's when I considered working on it for a second. But even at that time, I truly never thought that I would be creating a dating app.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does it mean exactly to, and then I want to unpack your breakup, but what does it mean to have ridiculously high standards? Like, how does that translate to Locks Club and like what you guys will accept versus keep on a wait list?
So I think something that makes people feel uncomfortable about the current existing dating apps are like, depending on which app, like some of them are a little superficial and some of them are kind of douchey. So our whole ethos is like, let's create something that's for down to earth people, like that don't take themselves seriously. And so we built this application, like you have to apply. And then if we accept you, it's curated and then you get into the Locks Club. The most fun part for me is making it, I designed it to be like a secret speakeasy hidden inside a deli. So what that means is like when you first download the app, it asks you what's the secret password and it takes you through this whole fictional story about a deli and deli owner and this love story. And there's a secret Locks Club in the back. And the reason why I designed it that way is because I thought I'm very weirdly obsessed with like escape rooms and speakeasies with secret entrances and magic shows. So I wanted to make this more of like a fun experience, and the dating app is more like a subtle byproduct of it compared to the other dating apps where it's like so datey, like explicitly you're going to come here for dating. Like it feels like a network event. It's very like sterile.
Yeah. But I guess like, what are you guys like, let's say you have this committee, right? And I know a few people on the like quote unquote committee who are great. And let's say you apply. I know with Raya, like they'll connect it to your Instagram. They'll check you out on Instagram. If you have like enough celebrities following you, they'll accept you. I don't know what their, you know, their thing is. With Soho House, there's a committee. Someone can literally say, if you apply to Soho House, I know them. I don't like them. They're out. Like, it's like a sorority. It's so, yeah. It can be so petty. Like, what makes Locks Club's process different from just like seeing someone's Instagram, let's say, and making that decision and making that call? Like, how do you actually, like, are you like, oh, who went to camp with her? Since it's like a Jewish app, you know, like, oh, yeah. She went to camp with my cousin. Like, the Jewish geography tells me that like she's cool because like her mom is family friends with like my cousin from Long Island, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's obvious the social media and the LinkedIn. You could kind of get someone's vibe, but that's only the tip of the iceberg. It's very surface level. So we ask a little bit deeper questions that you don't really read about anyone else on the internet. Like, we ask you, what's your career story and what are your ambitions? And all of our copy is more so playful. So you're kind of like, it gives people the freedom to really like show their personality and be a little bit self-deprecating rather than like, I have this sexy title at this giant corporation and that's why you should let me in. Like, we're very transparently not about that. Like, it's more about like, hey, this is why I'm here. This is the quirks that make up my personality. And this is why I want to join Locks Club. And then we do a little bit stalking of their social media and just get a vibe. A lot of people, you know, a lot of the coolest people I know have like one picture on Instagram and 50 followers, and that's fine.
Yeah. Is there any part of you that's like, shit, like what if I am only kind of like appealing to Jews and I wanted this to be like a bigger thing for everyone? You know what I mean? Like, do you ever feel like, oh, like, am I being inclusive enough for this to like grow to the level that I think it has potential to? Or is it better to like be niche and then take it from there?
Yeah, 100%. We get a lot of non-Jewish people asking if they could join. And the answer is always, I think of Locks Club like a deli. It's culturally Jewish, yeah, but anyone can come and enjoy the deli. And for me, like, I'm not super religious. And people might be surprised about that because I helped start Locks Club. But it's not about the religion for me. It's more about, I feel like the best way to meet people in real life, like your future partner, is through some curated experience, whether that be where you guys work, or like you get introduced to your mutual friend, or you get introduced at like a softball game. So Locks Club is more about, we created this community where there's shared cultural values, and the Jewish part is kind of like the Trojan horse. But it's really about the shared values.
Mm-hmm. And you know that I'm into astrology, obviously. Is astrology ever something that you would add into the features of the Locks Club so that you could say, like, I'm an Aries and I want to date a Cancer or whatever it might be?
First of all, I think that's genius. So we should talk about adding that into the app. I think that'd be really fun.
Can just Venmo me.
I will. I'll give you 80%. And we are adding astrology, but in a way that you would not expect. Our big initiative for this next year, assuming like COVID allows us, is to have launch events in cities around the country and then around the world. And our whole ethos for Locks Club and these events is we want to help people find love in non-cringy ways. I've always been like, I hate going to bars because I feel like I'm so socially awkward where like, I can't just stand there and hold my drink and make small talk with someone. I need to be doing an activity and then connect with someone as a byproduct. So back to the astrology, our favorite idea so far for our first launch event is a sexual tarot card reader. And I think that is such a fun way to break the ice with a group of people, and one person's getting their reading and they start opening up about themselves, and it's kind of funny and lighthearted. So it allows you to like really go deep like right away. And it's not so like, compared to like a speed dating event or like a networking event where like you're there to just meet someone. This is more about, we're going to have all these fun activities and you happen to meet people as a byproduct.
I love that. I'm so excited for this potential event and for the world to open up so we can experience it again. So going back to your breakup, which kind of spawned the Locks Club in a way, was this a rejection for you?
This was, yes, it's one of those on and off type relationships. I'm sure everyone out there knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. At that breakup was a rejection for me. Yeah.
And was it? Yeah.
It for sure lit a fire under me. And I think I needed that wake up call. Like I needed that slap in the face from the universe to really like look inward and be like, I need to make moves.
Yeah.
I have all these ideas, I need to do something about it.
Thank God for rejections. Otherwise we wouldn't be sitting here today. I wouldn't have started We Met at Acme. You wouldn't have started Locks Club.
Well, I didn't know about your story. Can you give me the tweet version?
The short of it is basically I was dumped on my birthday, like a month before I started We Met at Acme. And it was shocking because I was like the person out of my friend group that everyone went to for like dating advice. And then I found myself like totally just turned on my ass. By the way, like maybe I had always been like doing something wrong and I didn't even realize it, you know? But that really made me be like, holy shit, I need to learn more about dating than I thought. But going back to yours, like, was that your first rejection? Like, had you kind of been the rejector before that?
No, I'm more the type that I'm afraid to end it with people. Cause I hate seeing anyone upset. Like I want to take care of everyone. I want to nurture everyone, probably to a fault. Actually, I've been in three relationships. Two of them broke up with me. One of them, I broke up with them.
Okay. That's funny. You do have a lot of similarities to my boyfriend. Like that's one thing that I kind of thought was a red flag about him is also an amazing thing about him, which it sounds like you have this quality too, which is that he doesn't want to hurt anyone, you know? And so mm-hmm. I was like, you so badly don't want to hurt someone that like you could be in a relationship for like 4 years past its like expiration mm-hmm. date just because like you feel bad. And that's scary, you know? Like that's a scary thought, but it also has its positives as well. Was there a reason, like a real reason versus maybe like a reason she told you why it kind of all came to an end?
We're talking about the breakup that led to Locks Club.
Exactly. Yeah.
God. If I remember correctly, I think it was she wanted to focus on herself. And I know that sounds cliche, but she was somewhere in her career path where she felt like she wasn't happy. She was very stressed about money. She was in between jobs and trying to figure out a job. Oh, she had also just moved for a job. That's a huge reason. She moved to Houston for a job. Mm-hmm. So
when was her birthday?
Today.
Oh wow. Today. Shut the fuck up.
It's today.
Oh my God. Her birthday. So right now it's April 21st. She's a Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy. What are the odds? Have you said happy birthday?
I did.
You did?
We have a lot of love for each other and understanding for each other. Like even through that breakup, like I really appreciated that she did it.
Has she like re-entered into a relationship or has she been single since?
She's been single since.
Interesting. So you don't think that you're potentially still emotionally invested in this?
I don't know. I need a therapist to tell me that. We both went into making career mode the first priority because she came from divorced parents as well. And I mean she has other stuff that she's overcome in her life. But mm-hmm. like we both had the mindset that like we should really focus on building this foundation for ourselves now, like as individuals, and then that's gonna last us the next 80 years of life, and we'll be very thankful we did it when we were 28, 29, rather than like having a wake up call when we're 50.
Sure. But if I had just met you and we were dating, I would think it was a little sus that you still communicate with your ex, but maybe that's just me. Do you think that if you met someone that really like blew you away, that you were ready to like welcome into your life as a serious partner, you would stop communicating with your ex?
A Okay, first of all, I don't, the communication with the ex, I would be super annoying if you're talking to your ex every day, but maybe on birthdays and there's a mutual understanding of like that you guys are broken up and why you're broken up. So it's not like one party's secretly trying to get back with the other behind like your current partner's back. Then I get it.
Your reasoning for the breakup is so vague. Like it's not a legitimate reason. It's not like we realized that we weren't a match. It's like mm-hmm. we wanted to focus on our careers. So that could mm-hmm. be like, you know, just thinking back to the Justin McLeod episode, like, you know, if I were a girl meeting him before, like who wasn't Kate, who he ended up with, right? Like mm-hmm. I would be like, what's the real reason? And then he would say what? Like, she just like, she's like the one that got away, you know, like that doesn't make someone feel good.
Okay. So to answer your question, if I was in a new relationship and I was still talking to my ex, then I think it's my responsibility to take a step back and be like, why am I still talking to my ex? Maybe there's something there and mm-hmm. I shouldn't let that affect this new person. So we need to, this isn't fair. Rather than like having some sort of rule, like weird rules and resentment bubble up, I'd rather just take it on myself and figure what's the deal.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
In terms of dating now, assuming that when you have the time, you go on a date or two, mm-hmm. how are you meeting those people and have you shamelessly used Locks Club to just like message whoever you want?
I am so excited to use Locks Club to go on a date. I embarrassingly have not yet because I basically have a girlfriend named Locks Club and she takes up all my time. And I've watched everyone around me in my life go on Locks Club dates and have these crazy fun date stories. And I'm jealous and I live vicariously through them. So I'll use Locks Club. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to be able to use it.
But there's no one like you, like when was the last time you went on a date?
Like a real date where I actually went out to dinner with someone and it's planned and not a spontaneous thing. I haven't since working on this.
So if someone wanted to meet you, mm-hmm. what would like someone really close to you suggest they do?
Be assertive with me. Cause I am surprisingly shy. I rarely make the first move and I'm just like I said, like my head's in the clouds and I just don't even like think to do it. So if someone was really confident, I love confidence. If someone was confident and took the reins and was like, hey, whatever, like Lindsay introduced us, said we were a good match, like we're going to go here and work is an excuse. Let's make it happen. That'd probably be the way to do it.
But if you weren't attracted to them, would you be able to tell them the truth? Because I know we don't like to let people down.
If I wasn't attracted to them?
Yeah. Like if they were assertive with you, but you were not attracted, like, would you be honest about that? Because like, I know you have like that people pleaser inside of you.
Could you imagine saying to someone like, sorry, I'm not attracted to you?
No, but like, I guess you'd just be like, yeah, like I don't, oh, it's so hard. I don't know. Yeah.
If it was someone who like, let's say you really vouched for them and said, Austin, this person's like really worth your time. And I don't know if I'm attracted or not. I would at least consider going out as like with expectations of friendship. And then, if there's something about their vibe that I'm attracted to, then great. It's a nice surprise. If not, then at least I met a cool person.
I like that attitude. That's a yes attitude. What's the biggest turnoff for you when you're like initially getting to know someone and initially courting someone?
Like personality wise or physical turnoff?
I think maybe personality wise.
Okay. Biggest turnoff personality wise, I think is a lack of confidence. I love when people are confident, just like know what they want and they're vulnerable. They have the confidence to be vulnerable. And I think that's the key to life, honestly, and relationships. Just don't be needy. Like love your situation, whatever you're doing with your life and yourself and your friends and your family so much that you don't really need a partner. I think that's so attractive.
Yeah. And what about physical, if there is one?
Physical turn off?
I feel like you, when I tried to, when we had our first conversation, I was like, wait, are you single? I have people for you. And then I sent a few people your way. It seemed like a physical turnoff to you was like someone who, which is ironic because you live in LA, someone who like wears a lot of makeup or like, you know, has done things to their face or whatever. Like, yeah. Is that true?
No, well, not necessarily if they've done things to their face at all. More so like if they look very artificial. Mm-hmm. Like if someone has like huge inflated lips, you know what I'm talking about. And also if someone cares about their social media presence way too much and for no reason.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest misconception about you? Someone actually wrote in, they said they heard that you're sensitive.
Yeah. Oh, this is, yeah. Okay. So if you ask any, especially any female in my life, they'll always say like, holy shit, I assumed you were a fuckboy based on what you look like and from your Instagram. And like, because I live in LA, like most people don't even know I'm not an LA boy. And then once they see how weird I am, like I'll be like into these escape rooms and puzzles and Nathan for you. And I'm kind of awkward and I don't take anything seriously. Like I'm kind of like a quirky person. They're always shocked.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Oh, this is a good one. So there was like a back and forth about, I think you had posted some story and then like Sophia Franklin had posted some story. Did you guys ever talk? Did you guys ever flirt?
Yeah, we hooked up a couple times.
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
I'm joking. I'm kidding. No.
I was going to say, holy shit, this is huge. Now I know that she cheated on the person she's dating. That's wild. No,
there's a bunch of people sent me Reddit threads about me and her being a thing, which is funny because I'm so irrelevant and it's like people were shipping us. No, I don't
shipping
know.
You.
I don't know anything about her. She seems really funny though.
Yeah, she's funny. She was a good episode that we did.
Oh, I wish I had some more juice for you.
I wish you did too. I wish you did too.
She was on this podcast?
She was. Yeah, you got it. You got to go back and listen. Mm-hmm. Why/when is Locks Club going to kind of narrow down between like showing just people in New York for New Yorkers, just people in LA for LAers? Like, when is that happening, if it's happening, and why hasn't it happened yet?
Okay, so when we first launched the app, a lot of our whole vision for this is to build this community where there's like events and activities other than just dating. So a big request from the members was we want to be able to see people in other cities. A lot of them would, you know, for me personally, like if my soulmate was in New York and I saw her, like I wouldn't be opposed to seeing her on the app. And then as time went on, people started craving more to see people nearby, which makes sense. So now that's our top priority. And that's why we started waitlisting certain cities. So like, for example, Chicago, we're not open in Chicago anymore. We're going to go launch there in person and just really like do it right and open up the floodgates so that there's people in Chicago who can only see people in Chicago if that's their preference.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, and like, you know, sometimes on Hinge, I don't know if this is still a feature, but you'll talk to someone back and forth and then Hinge will be like, did you guys go on a date? Like, how did it go? Blah, blah, blah. Is there any way for you to tell if anyone has like successfully met on Locks Club thus far?
The way that we've been telling for now is just people have reached out and told us. We're planning on doing an editorial where we showcase successful couples and we've interviewed a couple and we're in the process of designing that and we're getting ready to post that on our Instagram. But no, we don't ask in the app. I'm on the fence about it. I think it's cool, but like, are people actually honest with the company? Like, do they care enough to respond to the company, like an app pop up and be like, yeah, I did go on a date and this is how it went.
I have to ask, since you're a Cancer, and then we're going to get into some rapid fire poll questions, but be honest with me, because I know you like vulnerability. When was the last time you cried?
The last time I cried was like 4 days ago.
Why?
I'm going to tear up talking about this. I found a letter from my grandma who passed away, like outside my front door. And it was really weird.
What? How did it get there?
I don't know. We're in the process of moving, so I'm sure it had something to do with that. But I went around and asked everyone who crossed, who came into the house that day, like, did you put this here? And no one did. And my grandma passed like very recently So, and the letter was from a couple of years ago. I'd never seen it before. What it said on it was very relevant to what's going on in my life today. So it just really freaked me out.
That's crazy. And that's just so much higher power, like telling you that what you're doing is what you should be doing. So that's really beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. We're going to lighten the mood a little bit with some rapid fire poll questions. Is it a red flag or no big deal if you have more fun going out with your friends without your partner than with your friends and your partner?
Red flag.
Agreed. I feel like you don't like drink and do a lot of drugs.
How do you know that?
I don't know. I'm just comparing you to my boyfriend because you have the same birthday. Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, I am. The thing about me being sensitive and me being kind of lame with like drinking and drugs is it's all true. Which is why people again, like are surprised when they find out that I'm not this image fuckboy stereotype.
Yeah. But I have to ask, and this is the only like sexual thing I'm going to ask you, but like, okay. You know, you're not dating, you're not like really talking to anyone. Like, how do you like make sure you're happy? You know what I'm saying?
I love petting cute animals and
you're like, I have a hand and I have a penis.
I have a vivid imagination. So,
okay.
I'm not a big porn watcher, surprisingly.
Okay.
I'm more like I could create the movie in my head.
Okay. But you're able to make sure that your self-care is taken care of.
Yeah. How about you?
I have a lot of sex and I also masturbate. So it's a really nice combination.
Okay. Well, I've been sexually active. So I don't want to make it seem like I literally haven't touched a female in years.
So you have like a friend with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Actually, not at the moment. At the moment, I'm completely clean slate, free agent.
Hmm. So what's the moment? Like a few days? Or a few weeks. Okay. It's a big moment.
Mm-hmm. Very big moment.
Is it a red flag if they drink soda?
Well, that's a great question. Are they just drinking it randomly or are they mixing something in it?
No, randomly. No mixers.
I can't see the person I'm going to date drinking soda because I'm not a big soda drinker, but some of my favorite people, shout out Julie, all this girl drinks is white wine. And
yes.
I
love Julie. Julie is like our best episodes ever. Yeah.
Yeah. She's one of my favorite humans in the world. And Julie all she drinks and I, is Diet Coke.
Yeah. We share a serious love of Diet Coke. Do marriages work better if you and your partner are more similar or do opposites attract?
Ooh, I've thought about this a lot. I think you need very similar values. So you can be opposite in personality traits, but you need this, you need the same value. Like you need to both like value family or work or like health and the big important things have to be the same.
Were your parents more similar or more opposite?
They're exactly what I just said. They're both obsessed with family. Like they're both like, they live for their kids. I have two siblings. But then their personality traits, like my mom is so spiritual and health and wellness and holistic. It's like she never let me drink soda growing up. And my dad is way more like my coach, like competitive, eye of the tiger, like would play Rocky for me every day. Very different.
Mm-hmm. Does the time of day someone likes you on a dating app, like 11 a.m. versus 11 p.m., give you a different vibe about what they're looking for? Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah. It's like going out on a breakfast date versus a let's get drinks at 11 p.m. date.
Yeah, a breakfast date is more serious. If they don't text you within 24 hours of your first date, can you assume that they're not interested? Yes or no?
No. They might be playing games, but I think that's a red flag too.
So you would text a girl after your first date within 24 hours if you were interested?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a red flag or a deal breaker if you sometimes feel alone in your relationship?
I think it's both.
Yeah. It's a deal breaker for sure.
Yeah. But like sometimes it's on the person to communicate. Like you can't assume that your partner can read your mind.
Yeah. You can never assume that. Yeah. If a guy calls a girl dude in a message on a dating app, is that a red flag or a deal breaker?
No. I mean, she's just being funny.
If they text you within the first 24 hours, like we discussed, after the first date and then nothing after that for a while, did they change their mind? Yes or no?
No. It depends on the person. If they're amidst in some career thing or... Mm-hmm. You could get a vibe of the person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think everyone's different and there are always exceptions. But for the most part, if they don't continue to think about you and text you, that's not the best sign.
Yeah.
Austin, do you have a quote or piece of advice that has helped you or guided you throughout the years that you could share with our listeners?
Oh, and this is a good quote for dating. It's relevant. So I was in Costa Rica on a hike once, and there was this sign that said, "Don't chase butterflies. Instead, tend to your garden, and then the butterflies will come." And I remember taking a picture with it and saving that quote. And that's always been my mindset. And then I think if everyone tends to their own garden, and they'll never need someone else. And those are the strongest relationships.
That's great. I love that. I feel like everyone who has come on the podcast in the last like month has said a variation of that, which is amazing. How can everybody find you, follow you, and hopefully get off the wait list for Locks Club?
So you have a link, right? So we're going to give your audience an expedited review. So whoever
we do have a link, we'll definitely do some swipe ups on our Instagram. So stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm.
And just be yourself on the application. Like, be weird, be quirky. We're all humans on the other end and we're not judging you superficially. So make us laugh.
Yeah. And where can everyone possibly slide into your DMs?
My name at Austin Kevish on Instagram. And the Locks Club Instagram is just at Locks Club.
Perfect. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you, Lindsay.